Hello and welcome to Wham Bam Tram. I'm James Ockenden, founder and editor of Transit Jam, and we have a great show lined up today. We're off to an art gallery in Shangwan to meet the brains behind Walking with Wheels. That's an exhibition highlighting the challenges people who walk with wheels face in Hong Kong. But first, let's join Catherine Davis of the Living Island Movement for another letter from the islands. Today, she's in Lantau, hearing about the challenges of sectional fairs.
I'm Catherine Davies, here with Letter from the Islands. Today I'm going to read a letter from Nick, who is a Wan Chai resident, but a long-time part-time island resident. And he raised a very important point, because on Lantau, we have many different buses, all operated by New Lantau Bus Company. But there are different fares depending upon where you're going. Some of the buses offer what's called a sectional fare, but other bus routes don't offer this option, even if you're going to the same place. So Nick shares with us a letter about his mishap with this complex fare system on Lantau buses. If you take the bus 1 or 4 from Mui Wo, you can pay a sectional fare to get you to Pui O. But if you take the 3M, you have to pay the full fare to Tung Chung regardless. So the other day, forgetting this, I got on the 3M. It was a weekend, so the fare was higher, and I balked at the $11.70 or whatever it was. Maybe it was as much as $17. Anyway, I was already on the bus, so I paid it. And then, as I sat down, I thought, well, maybe I'll just get the bus to Tung Chung, since I already was required later in Central anyway, and I had planned to drop my laundry off at home and then come back to Mui Wo and get the ferry. I'll just carry around the laundry, and I'll be able to change my clothes, you know, in a shopping mall toilet. But then, when I got to Pui O, I thought I'll just swallow the $15 surcharge I'd inadvertently paid, leave my clothes at home, and go back to Mui Wo and get the boat as I planned. I wish the 3M had sectional fares for the interim stops, like the other buses serving South Lantau Road do. So that's the story from Nick today, and what I found very interesting about this is that it kind of highlights the mad thinking process that island residents sometimes go to as they navigate these complex fare and time schedules. Even the ferry has different prices for ordinary and fast ferries, and some fast ferries with ordinary prices. And the funny thing about Nick's story is that we've noticed even the bus drivers are sometimes confused about it. I think sometimes if you talk to a 3M bus driver and they're a part-time driver, they might not even know this and they might actually give you a sectional fare. So it's a very complex system, but we navigate it on the islands. That is today's Letter from the Islands.
Thank you, Catherine. Some harmonisation of island bus fares would surely be welcome for the residents over there. Right, now we're off to Shangwan. We'll be meeting Paul Zimmerman, CEO of Designing Hong Kong, and Alan Chiradia of Hong Kong U to talk about a great project raising the issue of logistics and walking with wheels. Paul and Alan have created a terrific photo gallery of Hong Kong's ubiquitous trolleys and carts at work. We went along to see what it was all about. Okay, so I'm with Paul and Alan in the Walking with Wheels art exhibit in Ping Pong in Shangwan. So Paul, just tell us exactly what's going on here. How many pictures do we have and what's happening here?
We've got seven artists have done these photo video projects around the topic Walking with Wheels. We tried to, with an art exhibition, establish this whole concept Walking with Wheels. So we invited the amateur photographers via and social media platform, Time Auction. And we got a lot of people that stepped forward and they took these fantastic photographs along this whole concept of walking with wheels. Because there's a lot of people walking with wheels in our city, but we just don't necessarily pay attention to them. And certainly we don't look after them very well when it comes to transport planning.
Yeah. Most of the pictures seem to be of like trolleys and goods being shifted. It's not what you might think of walking with wheels. People might think of like baby strollers or wheelchairs traditionally, but this is very much about moving stuff around the city.
Yeah, because when this whole project started years and years ago, and then we were thinking about how to move the loading and unloading points so you can create improved pedestrian areas. And so one of the things was the first last mile, so people walking with carts and wheels. So I started photographing myself, just going to work in Shengwan. And when I analyzed the 400, 500 photographs, it turned out that 90% was people pushing goods or repairs or waste or recyclables around the city. Very few people with wheelchairs or very few people with baby prams.
Yeah,
I call this stage walking wheel two. Because, I mean, as you mentioned at the beginning, we were working on walking with wheel one, which was more about, I mean, people will wheelchair and kind of suitcase and all this thing. And somehow we achieved that because, I mean, the 3D pedestrian map is now published. It's not part of Hong Kong Mobility app. You've been some.
So that was part of Walking with Wheels 1, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. So that's kind of like in a way.
Real output.
Yeah. So we are starting a new one, which is, it's not starting, it's been running in parallel. But I think this is a stage in a way which kind of bring it to a new starting point, which is like showing how important those people are.
Yeah. The pictures really show, I think, Paul, you said something about these Walking with Wheels people are neglected. And the pictures really show that. When you see them all together, you can see the tough time they're having with the traffic and the slopes and the quality of the pavements. And also the size of their trolleys is in no way adequate for what they're actually pushing around. I mean, is it something we can improve?
Well, we think there are things we can improve. You know, we could provide crossings where they need them. There's one very specific one in Central where the Mangkhut refuse collection point, the trolleys have to fight their way across and people got hurt and people got killed doing so. And there is no crossing to that refuse collection point at all. But that's an extreme example. But on another, it is in more general terms, probably just trying to do things like creating lanes, shared lanes along the side of the road, marking them up for people that walk with trolleys, and they can be shared by the cars too, but at least so that these lanes are marked and so that people are aware along the busy routes. And we've got to rethink where we put fences so they can get on and off the pavement onto the road easily. Yeah, we need to recognize them as a mode of transport and then design our streets for it. And if we do, then we can move the loading and unloading points of vehicles away from busy areas where we like, say, to widen the pavement and where we don't want the loading and unloading to take place. Mm. To unlock some of the congestion in Central, we really got to think about the loading and unloading, which means you got to think about people who walk with wheels pushing trolleys with weight.
So, Alan, have you studied this in other cities as well as part of the HKU work?
So, walking with wheel, I don't think it is so... let's say the city I know most is London. London have a very different way. Like, for example, the city of London operates more like some certain hour for delivery is much more regulated in a way. You can deliver at certain time. There's much more control on the delivery side of goods. But I think one could make a step change in a way. If we were to rethink delivery in Hong Kong as, for example, through kind of consolidation center, which means that instead of having, I mean, all those delivery happening all the time everywhere, I have numbers saying that an office building, with about 7 to 12,000 people got about, I mean, I would say 1,400 delivery a day. Okay, so this is massive. And if we had consolidation center, it will mean that it can go down to 50 trip per day, which is like, I mean, 96% reduction in a way. So given, I mean, Central high level of office and, I mean, as a CBD and kind of even Kowloon as well, we could think of this way. So if you were to think along those lines, which is not anymore a small kind of like winning, small win, but a big comprehensive understanding about what we can do for delivery through consolidation center, that can change. That would be kind of a step change. That could be really something radical and deliver capacities that at the moment nobody can find.
Yeah, I like that idea. We just opened Central Market. And could you imagine that the Central Market, all these little shops there, that who all get their individual deliveries and each item gets delivered by individual suppliers. So the number of vehicles that go in and out for Central Market, that there is a Central Market delivery point outside where everything gets delivered, and there is only one truck that goes up and down to the building to bring everything for all the shops in one go. You know, like then there is only one vehicle coming into Central or two, depending on the amount, instead of these 100. I mean, there are so many coming in that park on the little side and then pop into the building, drop things off, because every shop has a separate suppliers and every shop has multiple items that come from different suppliers.
And that's, yeah, and they illegally park and idle their engines. And but that's not been done, has it?
No, it's not been done, but that is, I think this is kind of one, you know, if you want to start step change thinking through this whole last mile, first mile concept, and then how can we really adjust some of the transport impact of deliveries.
And this Central Market, like you say, that would be a wonderful idea, but that's just gone through such a major overhaul. Was there no thinking about this introduced at the earlier stage?
No, there has been no discussion at all about deliveries.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's something, I think the next maybe a disruptive idea, and that's the only way that Hong Kong can really deliver on a kind of like improvement of pedestrian cyclists. And I mean, there are quite pervert kind of offering happening. Like if you think, I mean, like Amazon delivering anything you like in 10 minutes kind of create a massive amount of delivery to everywhere and so on. So something that might sound a good idea on the kind of like a business side might not sound a very kind of terrible idea in a kind of like a common good, which is to say, okay, how do we make this city work for everybody and not just kind of like get it clogged out with like a delivery for every whim every 10 minutes?
Yeah, because the losers are the pedestrians.
Yeah.
You know, like the pedestrians lose out with all these deliveries because then we need road space for the through traffic. Then we need road space for vehicles to stop. And then we're going to have these movements of cargo between the buildings and the vehicles, and the ones that are losing out to the pedestrians. And we already have such a shortage of pedestrian space in especially the older urban districts in Kowloon and Hong Kong Island, where as we redevelop the buildings, we don't gain so much space along the pavements.
Yeah. And another thing is like HKTV Mall and SF. That's a whole other issue, is that they just use the whole pavement as their depot now.
So in a way, all those kind of delivery things that happen, so somehow they kind of take advantage of the common good, which is like the street, and not paying for it.
Yeah, and the government has thought, you know, like about changing goods delivery, loading and unloading times in parts of the city where you have congestion problems. And then, of course, the truck drivers and then whoever else in the industry pushes back against it because they just want to, you know, get out of bed like at the same time that everybody else does and go and have dinner at the same time that everybody else does. So there is a pushback against diversifying these delivery times. The government will have to stick its neck out and push harder. But maybe if we take it from a different angle, and a bit more radical or a bit more comprehensive, looking at this walking with wheels, trying to rethink how you organize deliveries in the city. Maybe that's then the government can break through that kind of inertia that's in the system.
Mm. Where would that start, though? I mean,
where to start is like to do a feasibility viability study where really we think about a little bit about delivery, like the MTR, which deliver people in place. So you could have a network of consolidation center. And that demand, I mean, quite a comprehensive undertaking. And that will kind of like start probably with a comprehensive study where we look at, let's take it as a kind of a concept. And what does it require? Where could the consolidation center be? This is a perfect kind of opportunity to develop underground consolidation center. We talked using better ways underground. But I mean, putting people underground is probably a less good idea than putting a delivery and a consolidation center underground in a way. Once you see the feasibility, viability of such kind of like comprehensive approach in a way. The next question is, okay, once we free up space, what do we do with that space? And that's a very important follow-up question, because if we don't think that space, well, it will fill up with car.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, we know that.
Well, and I'm very worried about it, because, I mean, the border crossings are now 16,000 during COVID, 16,000 vehicles a day. Before COVID, we maxed out around 45,000 vehicles a day. But we've built capacity for 220,000 vehicles a day coming across the border. So imagine that, you know, once, as is rumored, Hong Kong, China are going to collaborate really closely, kind of defend against COVID from outside, but then open up on the inside and we start opening up all the mobility. What the pressure on road use will go up dramatically. And so we have to be very careful that we're not going to use any spare capacity just for the cars.
Yeah.
So we have to get this demand for pedestrian capacity out there.
Yeah. It would be as well a possibility to do a dedicated bus lane to improve, those things. And there are quite amazing stuff that have been done with bus organization as well. I mean, it's a bit the laissez-faire idea, I think, sometimes is a little bit contrary to the benefits of a common good and the kind of like market, in a way, the good of the market. There's a way where, for example, Toronto and Barcelona have really reshuffled all their bus. And in fact, I mean, the kind of demand have increased, the satisfaction has increased, and the time have decreased.
Just one quick one as well. We're seeing a lot in Europe, like electric cargo bikes and things like this. DHL is using those, and FedEx and the post office. And do you think that's a possibility in Hong Kong at all?
Well, I think they dare. You know, the deliveries of gas bottles, or the yes. deliveries of just recently slaughtered chicken to the restaurant. Right. We still see those bicycles coming through a town. So that whole concept is there, and this will be ideal. So having the last mile done with bicycles in the city, you have consolidation points from where then the deliveries take place. Bicycles can have a good role to play in that one. It allows you to have a longer distance. Pushing a cart is okay for 200, 300 meters, maybe as far as 400 meters.
Yeah.
If we look at the kind of catchment area of a refuse collection point.
Yeah.
The bicycles could take you just slightly beyond that.
Yeah, great.
Well, I think, as well, if you think about those consolidation center, you may think in relationship to walking with wheel as well. I mean, delivery, well, electrify those carts and so on. So we've seen some of them, which are quite going up the hill with electrical cart in a way. So,
yeah.
But on the next stage, we could imagine as well that delivery, at certain time of the day, at kind of when there's less traffic, which are automated, kind of like automated delivery goods.
Robots.
Yeah, exactly. At night, where there's less traffic and so on dedicated lanes.
Then I have to negotiate my pedestrian space with a robot?
No.
Who's going to win?
I know.
I tested that out when they were in West Kowloon. They had this autonomous electric vehicle.
Yeah. They stopped.
And everybody was sitting in the vehicle for the test ride. And I said, no, you guys go. And I stood outside. And the moment they tried to go, I just put my foot up.
Yeah.
And the car stopped automatically. And I go like, this is never going to work. Yeah. Somebody will have the foot up somewhere.
No, in a way, it's okay.
Autonomous, I don't think, but electric.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, Hong Kong has kind of like an intriguing kind of like a setup in a way. Because, you have this distinction between a separated pedestrian from...
Or if you have a separate network.
Yeah.
Any favorite picture here?
Favorite picture? Well, I love the pictures where you kind of have to look twice to kind of spot the person moving the cart. And because they are everywhere, and we just have stopped looking at them. The moment, and I think the great thing about the exhibition is that what it does, it opens people's eyes up to the fact that, yes, they are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Well, I think, my preferred picture are the one where you have a lot of marking on the ground.
Yeah.
Like that one or that one. With
there's a three or four lane highway, that one, North Point Central Central. Exactly.
But you know what? There's a map, the highway and transport department have a map of all the marking.
Yeah.
And all the crossing and all the kind of zebra cross, a zebra mark and so on.
Yeah.
But that's for the road. when you go on to the pedestrian, there's blank areas, there's nothing. They know nothing about it. And that's maybe...
an indication.
An indication about what is missing as well. So we've done the 3D pedestrian network, but I think there's a next stage, which is to map exactly what is happening there. So
where you can walk with what. And if you talk about people walking with wheels, then you got, of course, the people with a suitcase or that require barrier free access, so people with wheelchairs. The next one is, of course, people with heavy goods. And the third level is leaking garbage bags.
But
those are three very different types of routes and networks that you got to think about, and where do they take place. And you got to think through them in transport planning. If you don't, then it just remains a haphazard issue. Yeah. It doesn't help improve loading and unloading locations for the vehicles. It doesn't help you to unclog traffic. And you continue to risk having accidents with... a group in society that pushes carts around, that these people are going to expose to an extreme danger, which is completely unfair.
Okay, Alan and Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul and Alan. Terrific work. And let's see more last-mile trolley and cargo solutions in the city. That's all from us this week. Next week, a walkability expert, Katerina Villani. I first met Katerina at the government's walkability workshops in Shamshoy Po many years ago. She's working hard for walkability in the city, and her book, Walkable Cities in High Density China, has just won an award. So we'll be chatting about the book and lessons for Hong Kong. That's next week on Wham Bam Tram. Look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.